Welcome back to the ACC, folks. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. Jonesy actually still making his way up. He'll be with us in mere moments. We're at Real Sports Apparel Store just outside the ACC as the Raptors today lose to the LA Lakers 94-92, the final. Toronto up four with 1:41 to go, and they end up losing the game by two, 94-92, an 8-2 run by the Lakers over the final 1:41 to close that one out and get the victory, and a much-needed win for the Lakers, considering they were 1-3 on this current road trip and coming off the loss on Friday to the New York Knicks. And Kobe Bryant came alive big time late in the ball game, was a key factor in not only hitting the big bucket, but then the drop-off pass to Ron Artest. And you name it, Kobe was involved. Kobe made a huge difference in spite of an afternoon where he struggled on just 9 of 23, did finish with a team-high 27, second only to Jose Calderon's 30, career-high 30 points for Jose Calderon. But what a game, Jonesy. And early on, it looked like whoever paid for tickets today was not going to get their money's worth in terms of what was seen in the first quarter, with Toronto falling down by 18. And even if you were a Laker fan, I'm sure you wanted to see at least an entertaining game and not just a total blowout. And the Raptors came all the way back and continued to scratch and claw all game to take a four-point lead in the fourth. It looked like they were going to pull the upset and beat the Celtics and Lakers in back-to-back games, but all for naught as Toronto loses by two, 94-92. And, of course, the key play of the game and the key play that we'll be talking about for a lot over the course of the next hour plus is the five-second call. By all accounts, from what we saw and from what even our TV friends, Matt Devlin and Jack Armstrong, it looked very, very close to 5 seconds, and it may have been a legit five. But the question is, and I know you weren't looking, and even though he was pretty much right in our line of vision, I wasn't focusing on Dwayne Casey. I was looking sort of past him to the play,
watching to
see what's going to unfold with
Rasul
Butler. So we're watching the play. I can't sit here and tell you for certain if Dwayne Casey was indeed calling for the timeout at 2 seconds, at 3 seconds, at 1 second, right at 5 seconds. I don't know. I know Butler called for it, and obviously Scott Foster, the official ruling or judging, that he didn't call for it in time. The 5 seconds had transpired, and that was it. But to your point,
That's why I'm late, Eric.
Well, my closest friend was at the game today. First thing he said to me before he even said hello, and he was at this game as a Laker fan, as a lifelong Magic Johnson guy. And the first thing he said to me was, I have not seen that call made. I have not seen that call made since I was in grade school. And that would take him back basically 22 years. So at least in 22 years, you were saying in the last 50, well, I'm giving it at least almost half of that. In the last 22 years, I'm not sure if I've seen that call made. But today, it was.
That's why I was late. I was standing outside, Eric, looking for the comet. Because that's about how often you see that call, when the comet comes by. Look, I'll say this, and I've talked about it. I just feel in my heart of hearts that the better teams seem to get the benefit of the doubt. There's a lot of questions on that last play. Why was Rasul Butler the inbound man? I'm sure there's an explanation for that, a plausible one. Was Dwayne Casey calling a timeout? I was actually getting a look at the TV replay over the shoulder of our colleague Jack Armstrong, and it was a legit 5 seconds. Rasul Butler did not turn to ask for the timeout until 5 seconds had expired. However, it looked at four from the replay that I saw, which was real time, that Dwayne Casey was trying to call a timeout.
Flapping his wings and giving the hands on the shoulder for the 20.
I just think at that point, you give the benefit of the doubt and let the players decide the play. That play, that call, swings the entire, what word am I looking for?
Momentum?
Well, not even momentum.
Feel,
atmosphere,
vibe.
Feel of the game. Because you go from being on offense with a chance to lead, without any action happening, to suddenly being on defense, having to foul and hope they miss just to get back to the spot where you were. I'm not saying it wasn't 5 seconds. It was a 5 second count before Rasul Butler asked for the timeout. The questions are...
Well, no, there is no question. If what you just said you saw in the replay, there is no question.
Well, but the question
Dwayne
is...
Dwayne Casey called for it at 4. You said you saw it in the replay.
Why was one ref not aware? I mean...
There's 3 on the floor. Somebody's got to see them.
As a coach, you're telling your players, we have a timeout left. You send them out there saying, we've got a timeout left. If you are in trouble, call a timeout. Heck, I've often been coached and tell kids at a different level when I'm coaching, tell the ref when you get to 4, if I haven't got rid of the ball, it's an automatic timeout. Now, the ref may not call that. He might say, well, you have to tell me that. But put that thought in his mind. Those are all things that go into it. Look, let's go back to the play itself. Before that, Kobe Bryant, as we said, and I know I tweeted it, Eric, you and I were talking about it, for the 21st time in his career, with less than 10 seconds to go in the fourth quarter or overtime, has made a shot to give his team the lead. That's what it's about. And as Steve Blake told us on the postgame, you can't take away everything. The play before, Kobe came high. They used the foul that they had to give. We said it on the broadcast, right? Same alignment, same play. They took away the high side. He went to the baseline bucket. You just, with a guy like Kobe, you just can't take everything away. It's like holding water in your hands. You can't do it. Eventually, some's going to fall through the cracks at some point, and that's what happened to the Raptors.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Let's grab one before we get the 4 o'clock sports update as well. Andrew in Toronto, go ahead. You're on the wrap.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering why they would put on somebody like Butler, who hadn't played all game, instead of somebody like Barbosa or any of the other guys that they had who had already been warmed up.
And we're wondering the same thing. So it's a fair question, Andrew, and hopefully it's something that Dwayne Casey addresses in his post-game conference with the media, and we'll get that tape on the air before 5 o'clock. But there is question as to why. He's generally speaking a relatively sure-handed passer in terms of the inbound. He's got a little bit of size maybe as well, Jonesy. Could be in terms of getting it back to the shooter. I don't know if you're going to put the game on the line with a guy that hasn't shot all game. But that said,
he's a threat. You're right.
He's a threat, and maybe in a sense he's almost like a guy you forget about because he hasn't been there all game. The Lakers are so focused on Calderon and his career-high 30 to the point where they're putting Kobe Bryant on him to shadow at the end of the game. Maybe Butler, in a sense, goes unnoticed. That's the only theory we have right now without knowing, Andrew. I think we're both and many of us are wondering the same thing as well about Butler being on the floor at the end. We'll continue to take your phone calls, folks. We've got an hour to chat. 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors losing today in dramatic and, well, controversial fashion, 94-92 to the LA Lakers. If you're online, stick around. We're coming right back to you on The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Wrap. With Eric Smith and Paul Jones.
Welcome back to The Wrap. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. Phone lines open at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. This game started with the Lakers shooting 14 of 20 from the floor, good for 70% in the first quarter. They had 34 points after one. They led by as many as 18 in the first quarter. And at one point, I looked down late in the ball game, or I guess it was mid-fourth, they were 17 of 50 after their 14 of 20 start. Their percentage dipped all the way down to a hair over 40. For what it's worth, they finished the game at 43%. The Raptors actually shot 47 after their dismal start. But the Raptors give up an 8-2 run to the Lakers over the final 141 and lose by 2, 94-92. Let's go back to the calls. Lots of time to talk, folks. Reaction from the locker room later on as well when we get some of the tape. Zach Cooper of Sportsnet 590, The Fan, is down there, and we'll hear from him a little bit later on and hear from head coach Dwayne Casey and others. Raptorized John. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yo, Paul. Eric, how you guys doing?
What's up, John?
Hey, man, I've been around a long time, Jonesy, and I never saw that call.
Hey, that's what I said, man. I was outside looking for the comment.
I don't know, man. It must have been biased while anybody looking, man. Just too bad that they are always, let this, bad things happen in the first quarter. Coming back is going to take a lot out of you. Ole Jose, you know, not too many people are going to say too much disparaging remarks about Jose today, but like I said, you know.
Hey, he's been the best player the last two games. He out-dueled Rondo on Friday, and he was the best scorer on the floor tonight.
Yeah, but it always seems like, come down to Jose, Jose do this, Jose can't guard this person, Jose can't guard this person. But anyway, you know, Ole came through today, and all I can say is that, you know, the referees should assume that Tom's going to call a timeout. I don't know what they were looking for or what they were waiting for, you know? Just didn't make any sense to me.
All right, John, thanks, man. And that's something that we talked about. You know, I'm sure Dwayne Casey armed his team with that fact. They leave the huddle. You give them the key points to the play, right?
Yep.
Use the screen properly. Remember, fake left to go right. Wait for the screen. And then you'll say, and we got a timeout. If you get in trouble, we got a timeout. Like, I know that they had that. There's no way Dwayne Casey, you know, Scott Roth, Micah Norai, Tom Stoerner, Johnny Davis. Those guys have been around this game a long, long time. There's no way they're letting their team break the huddle without letting them know that they have a timeout. Rasul Butler was very deliberate in making the pass because you can't turn it over then either. And, the refs, you're right. Maybe they don't assume, but they should No, they should understand. They should be on alert for a timeout, especially when the ball is in the guy's hands for a long time. And like I said, if I'm a player or a coach, I'm saying, hey, look, if it gets to four and I ain't got rid of it, I'm turning to you for a timeout, so be on guard.
Well, at this point, the game's over. You lose by two. Not sure there's much that can be done, but I would be surprised if there isn't at least a conversation had or some sort of contact made with the league office to at least get further clarification maybe on the matter, because I'm sure those in the ivory towers aren't too happy about it right now in Raptor land. And I can't imagine that it's something that Dwayne Casey isn't addressing with the media right now. Back to the lines. Alex and Barry, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking the call. I just wanted to kind of, I guess, to myself more so, talk about consistency. And the consistency I want to talk about is in the calls. I have played high school basketball, and the five-second call was always predominant. But it was consistently called. I don't mind if the call is being attributed, but just like we talked about, some level of consistency, and just to put it into a little bit of perspective, across the spectrum of any other sport, predominantly, let's say, the NFL, closest thing I can relate to, I guess, is a delay of game call. Even when the clock goes down to a zero, the quarterback still almost seemingly has a full beat until he can snap the ball, but at least one official is always looking at the coach as well, see if the coach wants to call a timeout, because most timeouts come from the bench. I can't find one excuse, but yet I can find five or six different solutions to this problem. Had they gone back to the replay and seen that Casey did signal for a timeout, shouldn't that take effect? I mean, on top of that, are we in line for perhaps a fourth official? Are we perhaps in line for a time clock on that five-second call? Because, let's be honest, the hand wave motion, different guys count 5 seconds completely different ways. Have them throw the ball, guy picks it up, snap on your stopwatch, 5 seconds go by, as soon as it goes up, call it. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with all calls in the rule books. That's why they're there. I want some consistency. And if Brian Colangelo doesn't take this too hard, it'll be really hard for me to root for him moving forward, because this is, I mean, at
what do you mean? Just clarify that last statement. I don't know what you mean about why. What does this have to do with Brian Colangelo taking what to heart?
Taking this, what just happened, in particular with that call, taking it too hard and taking it to the league, making it known, because I personally think that David Stern is not one to take into the fans into consideration that much across the board. Maybe somebody else needs to bring this to his attention, but I think that this is a huge problem. I think, as Jonesy said, the momentum or the vibe, whatever you guys want to call it, was taken out of this building. I mean, you could hear a pin drop. It's extremely frustrating. I just don't know why we lack in consistency so much. I can attribute many different solutions, but I can't find the cause to this problem, is what I'm saying.
All right, Alex, appreciate the phone call. And I think you raised some good points as well. Because just so you know, and I think you do, Alex, that play cannot be reviewed right now. It's not part of the rules. But to your point, could it be Or should it be? Because I think maybe speaking for Alex a little bit here, Jonesy, you think about the fact that, yeah, you don't want to review every play in the world and slow the game down to the point where every little thing you're going to nitpick and go to the review and go to the review, go to the review. But if what you're saying, because I didn't see it, I was running up the stairs and you had the chance to stick around for a couple extra minutes.
I knew you were running up the stairs.
To see
thanks,
the monitor.
Man. Thanks for helping.
So I didn't see it. Yeah. But if the review clearly shows in the background Dwayne Casey calling for the timeout before the 5 seconds were up, then that could be or should be something that is reviewed. Because even if you were to say that, yes, it can be reviewed now going forward starting next season, if it's just like any other play where if there is not evidence to prove otherwise, then the call on the floor stands.
Right, but, right.
So it might just end up being that, hey, sometimes there is a camera angle where the coach is not visible. So unfortunately, we don't have proof. Call stands. And I think Alex brings up some good points. I don't think you can actually go to like an NFL style throwing a flag onto the floor on a hardwood that guys could slip on and everything else. But is there some way that you could get an indicator, whether it be a clock, 5 seconds, whether it be a buzzer that a coach hits, something other than let's hope that the ref sees me? Because clearly in this case, even if it's an isolated incident that doesn't happen for 20 more years, in this case, three officials on the floor did not see Dwayne Casey.
Well, look, Alex makes some great points. The consistency of the call is one thing. That's the big deal. Because like I said, I haven't seen that call in that situation for a long time. And I'm thinking hard. I may have seen one or two over the course of last season. That's it. It's not a regular call. It's always bad. And I've said this and I maintain this because I've been an official. It is the hardest game in the world to officiate. And I'll take on all comers, baseball, hockey, football. I'll take them all on because you know what? You don't have to worry about how many steps the guy takes with the ball in football and how he stops and how he starts and how many steps the guy takes with the puck or if he has it on the right side of his stick or the left. I mean, there is so much in basketball in a confined area that is bang, bang. Unquestionably, in my eyes, toughest game to officiate. That being said, I wonder if going down that road with looking at 5 second counts is akin to baseball saying, okay, we'll review everything, but we're not going to review balls and strikes. That's the strike zone, and each umpire has, you know, there's a little bit here and there. We've got those superimposed images on TV now. But I don't know if basketball can get to that. I don't know if they want to go there. You're right. Your count.
My chop is going to be
exactly
shorter or longer than your chop.
One Mississippi, one Steamboat,
hey,
one.
Go play pickup football. Everybody's
exactly.
Steamouts are different, right?
And people complain about
yeah.
it. So I don't know if you can go there. My point goes back to the frequency of the call in that kind of situation. That would be it, as well as somebody, some official, not being aware that they did have a timeout and the possibility that a timeout could be called was going to happen.
Back to the calls. Victor and Milton, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. You know what, Paul and Eric, the one thing you guys didn't qualify is that usually you don't see that call with a game on the line.
Well, that Victor, I said that. I'm looking for the comet outside, man.
Okay, listen, you know what? I mean, I haven't called much in the past year because this is one of the reasons why a lot of the passion in watching the game has been taken away from me because inevitably I always feel that, you know, we're going to get the short end of the stick. But let's step away from the grassy knoll and the second shooter for a second. There's a lot of positives in this game. I think we hired Dwayne Casey 1 year too early because he's going to take us out of that top pick. But the positives, there were lots of positives. I mean, he's challenging these young guys, and there's one guy that's being showcased right now, and he's living up to it. That's Calderon. Imagine what Calderon would look like on the Lakers or on Miami. I mean, the guy's balling. So let's look at the bright side. These things happen, and they've been happening to the Raptors for a long time, and I'm used to it. I don't know about you guys, but I'm used to it. You know,
I am too, Victor,
unfortunately.
Yeah, but, I am too.
but that's the reason why we need to draft. I know you guys are not on the tank theory, but that's the reason why we need to draft high, because the only way to overcome some of these things that we seem to be going through is to have superstars. When you have superstars, never mind benefit of the doubt, you're going to get guys that are going to hit shots more than 40%. And you know what? I don't care what Kobe did tonight. He went 9 for 23. If I shoot 23 shots in a game, I better be in double figures. So, you know, it just so happened we weren't good enough that his last shot meant something. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, Victor.
Appreciate
anyway,
the phone call.
Thanks, man.
Hey, and you know what? At the end of the day, and I'm not, you know, Victor, you just, neither one of us here is on the tank, let alone following the tank theory or mentality. But if you are part of that crew, Tank Nation, probably a perfect day for you. You saw a heck of a game, an entertaining game that came down to the final seconds. So you were entertained. You got your money's worth. But they lost. So it's given you at least another ping pong ball to bounce around in the big machine, at least at this point. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Now, there is, not to doubt what you saw, Jonesy, because I'm believing what you said and what you saw, there is other information, I guess, coming out from those that were even part of the broadcast crew on the LA and Toronto side that have since informed us that slowing it down frame by frame, watching the count from Scott Foster and Rasul Butler with the ball in his hands, that there's no doubt that the 5 seconds was up and that Casey did not call for the timeout in time before the five. If that's legit from the news we're getting from the LA and Toronto TV crews, then it sounds like the play, as frustrating as it might be, stands and should stand in that the timeout from Butler especially, but even now from Casey, did not come before the 5 seconds were up. So we'll continue to talk about that. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. More of your calls coming up in mere moments. In fact, we've got time for one more right now, so let's go to Kevin in Brampton. Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, Kevin.
Good. I'd just like to talk about the benefits of the way they've been playing the last two games without, you know, Bargnani or Bayless. The fact that we could take a side that they're actually playing defense, playing hard against good, legit teams that have, you know, championship experience and won championship. And if we could just have that every night against every other team, I think the Raptors could actually eventually be a beast in the East as they were before. But I just want to hear what you guys have to say and what your take is on that.
All right, appreciate the phone call. Jonesy, what do you think?
They got a chance. I mean, yeah, you got to draft smart. It's about the combination of all of them. You can't just rely on the draft. You've got to get some guys in free agency. You've got to develop some of your own. It takes a lot of pieces, and you can't just do it one way. And it's going to take some time right now. It really is. I mean, this is only the second year of the rebuild. Last year was the first year without Bosch. It was going okay early until the injuries hit, and then you went full development mode. And as I've said many times, it's hard to do both. It's hard to win and yet develop people. And it looks like right now the Raptors are more in development mode than they are in win mode. But I got to tell you, you need a win sprinkled in here or there to keep people engaged, to keep the confidence up, and keep people from getting discouraged as they're trying to move through this.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors today losing to the Lakers, 94-92. Toronto now sits at 9-20. Tough one to take today as they will now get set for the back-to-back this week with the Knicks and Spurs on Tuesday and Wednesday. More of your calls when we continue on The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Wrap. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you here till 5 o'clock. Going to get some reaction later on from the locker room as well. The Raptors losing in dramatic fashion to the Lakers, 94-92 the final. And again, as we continue to get that new information that's coming in, I said it right before the break, we're kind of getting some info from the Toronto and LA TV crew that says that based on what they have on their highlights and slowing down the footage, that it looks as though not only was the five-second count legit,
yes,
both Butler and Casey did not signal for the timeout before the 5 seconds. So the call as it stands on the floor is legit. Still doesn't necessarily answer to what you've talked about in terms of how many times that is actually called and whether or not there is an assumption from the officials, from the players, in terms of we want it at four or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't change any of that, but at least in terms of how it was called, there you have it there. but we'll continue to take calls right up until 5 o'clock.
Lots to it, Ed. Lots to it.
Steve in Mississauga. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Eric Jones, how you guys doing?
Good Steve.
Because, you know, I've looked at every single Raptors game, man, from the very beginning when they played again, that first game against Jersey, to this one, okay? I've known Eric since he worked with Barry Davis back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're an original.
That was a long time, man.
Yes, sir. You know 15 plus years.
The result today is exactly what I would want as a Raptors fan, you know? Because you know they ain't going anywhere. Just put in a good, give it a good show and, you know, lose it the last few seconds. That's fine. That should have been the result against Boston, you know, having lost all this time against Boston. But that's good, too. But, you know, when looking at the replay, to be honest with you, the coach realizing his player was getting a brain cramp there, and he tried to call the timeout. But I'm telling you, man, they both were late in calling that timeout.
Yeah, and that's
there, okay?
Yeah, no, and that's what we're hearing. And that's, look, if they're late, then let me put it this way. It's a gutsy call by Scott Foster. If they were late, and hey, you know me, Eric thinks I'm crazy because my channel gets two stations, sports and more sports. I'll go home and I'll watch that thing over and over tonight. And if they were late, they were late. If Casey was late, if Butler was late, no argument. And it's a gutsy call by Scott Foster. But you know what? I want to see those guts and that call made in the NBA final. I want to see it made in a conference final. I want to see it made in a playoff game. I want to see it made against the Lakers at Staples. Just be consistent. Gutsy call. And again, I qualify this, hardest game in the world to officiate. And it's a gutsy call. But I want to see it all the time. I want to see things consistent. I mean, you can go back to Steve Blake makes a three, and Dwayne Casey's on a moving screen, which, you know, is it or isn't it? And if they call one the time before, then they need to call it this way as well. So, hey, if it's late, it's late. I agree with you, but I want consistency all the way through.
Zach Cooper from Sportsnet 590, The Fan, was down in the Raptors locker room. He's back up here, and he's going to chop a little bit of tape here, and we're going to get some comments on the air first. But you were just writing me a note. Better to jump on the headset and just tell us what's happening down there, at least as far as Rasul Butler and maybe some of the other feelings and comments down there.
Yeah, well, we were talking to Rasul after the fact, and obviously he was very dejected, deflated, and disappointed with how it went down. He said he actually asked Scott Foster to count out loud on that inbounds play, and the ref obliged, and he said, basically Rasul said he heard four, tried to call the timeout, and when the whistle was blown, he thought he was going to be rewarded with that timeout,
right.
But obviously that's not how things went.
Now, before we hear from maybe some of the comments.
So he asked for that. Sorry, Zach.
He did
asked
for that. Yeah.
See, and that's a veteran player.
He asked for it and got it, but then he still didn't get the call in a sense then. I mean, it'd be different if he asked for it and didn't get it, and it was not out loud.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But he got it out loud. How do you still then miss it?
Yeah.
How do you not get it inside?
He said he had the utmost amount of respect for Scott. He said he's got a good relationship with him. He actually praised all the NBA refs in one fell swoop, saying they do a great job. And, you know, he's surprised that it didn't work out the way that he and the Raptors wanted it. But he understands, and he didn't want to.
Before we hear from Dwayne Casey, did anybody ask why Butler was even on the floor?
I did ask, and I asked if it was just a matter of length. He said, yeah, but he's also our best inbounder. And basically that's something they practice in practice all the time. And Rasul was confident. You know, I asked him if he knew he would be going in that situation. He said he didn't, but he expected to be able to do something because they do it all the time. And he called himself a threat to get the ball in and then get that handoff and take a quick shot.
And that's exactly what we were talking about. He's a decoy. He could open the floor just to give a little bit more room to another shooter, another guy. And unfortunately for them, Zach didn't work out.
Especially since he didn't play at all the game until that point.
Well, you know, and the Lakers did the same thing. Somebody asked me that on Twitter, and I basically gave the same answer.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't see that Capone was inserted with 3.7 seconds. Why? Because the guy can make a free throw if he gets fouled. Take advantage of everything you can.
All right, thanks, Zach. We'll hear some of those comments from Dwayne Casey, Rasul Butler, and others before the top of the hour. Back to the calls we go. Phil and Barry, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call today.
Thank you.
I think everyone's complaining, and it almost is hurting my ears, the whining about the call. What we need to whine about is the fact the Raptors gave up on average 2 points every 25 seconds for the last minute and a half of the game. We don't have any clutch defenders. I'm going to go out on a limb. Lots of people hate me for saying this. I've always said, Calderon plays awesome for a few games, but when he has a brain cramp, it might cost a game or that. He's not a premier defender. You need to be a tougher defender as a point guard in the East. On average, he's okay. But I just think it's kind of ridiculous that obviously they won. A, didn't figure it was going to Kobe. Like, body check him out of bounds. There's got to be a few guys who don't have five fouls on the floor. B, in the last minute and a half, while you weren't shack-a-whacking people and killing the clock when you got the ball and taking your time. To me, it's really not the call. It really has nothing to do with the refs. It has to do with the Raptors not shutting down a team that would have given them an awesome victory over the Celtics and Lakers back-to-back. It was a two-minute brain cramp, not a four-and-a-half, five- or five-and-a-half-second one. That's all I got to say.
All right, appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, you want to go first? Or
no, you go ahead. You were like looking at your stats and everything,
well,
so you go right ahead.
Raptors held them. You had the stat, Eric. They were 14 of 20 in the first quarter.
Yeah, and at one point they were 17 of 50. I mean, even if you go with what they dealt with the rest of the game, 14 of 20 after one and finished the rest of the game 21 of 61.
That's a third. You know, that's a third. That's like 30%. To me, it comes down to, and you make a great point about not knowing. I mean, you had to know Kobe was going to get the ball. But that's the beauty of a guy who has all the skill that you can never take everything away. When the Raptors were up four, Kobe single-handedly turned the game around. He hit a stare-down three on Klaza, and then he picked on James Johnson or Klaza. He hit a stare-down three, and then he picks Klaza's pocket and gives them the assist on the go-ahead. And then when the Raptors score, they've got a foul to give. They take it as they run the X play for him to come out high. And as Steve Blake told us, the next time, okay, we're going to take out the high so he isn't isolated up top. What does he do? He goes to the baseline and makes a shot. How many guys make that shot in this league?
Yep.
Three, four? Anybody else who has the stones, the guts to take it?
Next to none in that situation.
Exactly. So you can't take everything away. So as to the caller's point, look, it's not like the NCAA. You can't foul before the ball comes in. In the NBA, with less than 2 minutes to go in the quarter, when you foul before the ball is inbounded, it's an automatic two shots, and then they get the ball back. Right? So, look, you're right, and there's a lot of talk about the call, but you can go back. Hey, go back to the first quarter. Raptors shoot what? Whatever they shot in the first quarter.
Oh, like it was like
30%?
I think it was 30.4. Yeah, it was 30.4.
And they're down 34-19.
They were down 18 at one point, down 15 at the end of one.
There's lots of things you can point to, and that is a great point. It's not just the call by the ref. There's a lot of things you can point to, but that seems to be the last thing and fresh in everybody's minds.
Michael in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Michael.
You know, as a basketball fan in Toronto, I just feel honored that Kobe continues to come through with these performances against us. Today, we got the game winner. Before, we had the 81 on Chris Bosh. A couple years ago, he came into Toronto and had 40 with, like, eight dunks. He continues to give us the full repertoire. And for him to be doing it at this age, when he's already passed Jordan for minutes played and games played, I think it's not crazy to say that he could be better than Michael Jordan by the time he's done his career. And also, before I get hung up on here, I just want to say I really enjoyed all the Whitney Houston music that was played today at the Raptors game. I thought that was a great touch.
All right, appreciate the phone call. I thought it was a great touch, except for the fact that they lit one up after Calderon hit the three ball to give the Raptors, what, the lead? Or they were down one at one point, and then they go into the timeout with If He Loves Me or some garbage that was not the time to
appropriate
like that. I mean,
yeah.
you want to be dropping the bomb on the fans at that point and jacking up the crowd, and I don't think that was the time to do it. But otherwise, yes, a nice tribute after the passing of Whitney Houston yesterday.
I want to dance with somebody?
No, nothing. Nobody. Nothing. Whitney Houston is – somebody hit me on Twitter, and he was right. A solid ballad singer is not where you're going when you're trying to fire up the crowd with less than 5 minutes to go and your team just nailed a big three to make the game even more dramatic. Come on.
As
one day, just one game, I want the computer with the music, and I want to control the tunes for one game. Don't even give me the game. Give me the fourth quarter. I want to take control.
Yeah, I'd like that too.
All
I'd
right?
like that
just
too.
One game.
As to our caller's point, he's right. Kobe is one of the, and you and I, have talked about it. I know I wrote about it last week. He is one for the ages. He is a generational type player. You talk about guys that you see that come along once in a lifetime, Wilt, Jordan, Magic, Bird, there are very few guys like that. I mean, you think about golf, like a Nicklaus, a Palmer, a Tiger Woods, a Hogan. It's once in a generation, and we are lucky to be able to see and witness. And I'm telling you, the guy has worked for it, and he's doing it at an age where, I mean, he almost looked bored, Eric, at one point, right? When he was settling in for that last jumper, the look on his face was like, oh, boy, okay, here we go. He wasn't excited. He wasn't nervous. He has done that, what, a million times in practice. That was nothing new to him. And you saw, you know, what kind of practice it takes and how he knocked that one down when it was important.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Ross in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Ross, you there?
To you guys. I haven't talked to you in a long time, but I'll give you what I think about this game. First of all, the Raptors, the main important thing is knowing that that was controversial call or not, you have to learn from it. And the fact that they played two good teams that are going to be in the playoffs, Boston and the Lakers, and almost beat both of them, if you were a fan, and I know you are, Eric, fan of the Lakers or fan of the Raptors, which team would you be more worried about? The Raptors, who are learning how to win, or the Lakers, who almost blew a game when they had an 18-point lead?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not sure that I'm worried when they still have Kobe Bryant, Pau Gasol, and Andrew Bynum, but I appreciate your point, and I know where you're going, Ross. I hear you. Appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the phone call. I understand what he's saying, because put it this way, Ross, to your point,
yeah.
Even in spite of the win today, Jonesy, what we've seen not only on this road trip for the Lakers, but also over the course of the season at now 16-12, they need some help. And back-to-back games now, they have been lit up by two point guards. One in his fourth game at the time, basically, Jeremy Lin. And now tonight by Jose Calderon, a solid offensive player, but not a threat most nights offensively. Can knock down an open shot, play in a pick-and-roll game, sure. But, hey, his previous career high was what, 26, 27 before tonight?
27, yeah.
He goes for 30 tonight. First time in his career he's gone for 30 or more. You got to be concerned, if you're the Lakers, about what you've got when you think about Steve Blake and Derek Fisher and other issues or options at the guard. And that, even maybe more so than Dwight Howard and the rumors and everything else, might be more of an important issue for this team in terms of trying to clear up and shore up the point guard position.
Hello, Chris Paul.
Well,
see, and that trade would have had an impact in another way. The defense, Eric, because Chris Paul is a solid defender, and Kobe doesn't have to go wild on the offense. I love Michael Thompson's line with the offense. Kobe's like a woman with no limit on her credit card who's allowed to go shopping anywhere in the world. Like, he's just going to town. And with Chris Paul, that would have taken, in a more traditional pick-and-roll NBA-style offense, it would have taken some of the strain off Kobe. He's number two in minutes per game. And if you're a Laker fan, you got to hope that that doesn't catch up to him later on.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. We'll continue with your calls till the top of the hour. Try and get some reaction from the locker room as well as the Raptors lose to the Lakers. 94-92 on Toronto Raptors basketball on The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Wrap on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. Just hearing the news there from Jeff Rahoman. Sounds like Tiger Woods has gone from being the Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant of golf to being the LeBron James. Can't close.
No fourth round?
No fourth round.
We need a joke for that?
He's five off the pace now. Maybe he need, you know what? Maybe just for like a month, he needs to go back to just
being Tiger?
Doing his thing. Or doing many things, if you know what I'm saying. 416-870-0591, 888 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. We're going to head to Anthony Mississauga in 1 second here, but I do want to give you a chance to hear from Kobe Bryant after the ball game. Here he is talking about the call we've been talking about all day, the controversial five-second call on Butler that basically turned the tides of the game. Here he is, Kobe Bryant.
And I was surprised because it was 5 seconds. I didn't go to college, but I can count because I know you could do that. You know, you impress when you don't expect a player to have games like that. I fully expect that from him. I mean, he's a great player. He's always been one of my favorite point guards. So,
there you have it right there. Kobe Bryant talking about initially right off the bat there, the call, I can count, kind of being sarcastic with saying, yeah, it was 5 seconds, period. But then the second part of that comment, regarding Jose Calderon,
well, we've
saying
said
he's always been a dangerous player and been one of my favorite point guards. All right, cue the rumor mill. I'm sure it's getting churned up right now. There you go, folks.
Well, nothing that
fire it up.
As now, see, Kobe says it, and we got a story. You and I say it, and the fans here think we're crazy. How good would the Lakers look if they had a guy to run screen roll?
I've been saying it for about 3 years, at least, if not longer.
If they had a guy to run screen roll and put Kobe in the corner. And then let Kobe run screen roll that brings a different pace or a change to it differently.
Right, but Jose Calderon's a terrible guard based on what half the people say. Anthony Mississauga, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Anthony. Yo.
Hello.
Anthony, you're on. Go.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to make a couple points. A lot of us are forgetting that we did face the Los Angeles Lakers. We need to understand that they're a very high-caliber team. That being said, I have to go back to the call. I think that the Toronto Raptors, a lot of people have lack of respect for our team. I think that if it was the other way around, the referees would have given them the timeout as opposed to the five-second call. And just like Jonesy said, he remembers only twice that it happened last year. It's not a call that happens all the time. So clearly, I think that the referees fully know what was going on. They knew that they had another timeout. They didn't do their due diligence. They just looked over the other way and pretended they didn't see anything. I think that even if the 5 seconds did count out to 5 seconds, they should still give them the benefit of the doubt that they did call it and just give it to them. The fact that they didn't, I think it comes down to lack of respect. What do you guys think?
Appreciate the phone call. Then that's kind of what you said a little bit earlier, Jonesy.
Yeah, I think it's a respect thing, and I just wonder if the situation was reversed, if the Lakers were looking for a 2 to go ahead with 7 and change to go at home against, well, heck, never mind the Raptors, anybody else, let's up the stakes against the Heat or the Knicks or, you know, the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Is that five-second call made? If it is, and I would hope any ref would have the courage to make the same call. And that being said, NBA refs, and I'll say this, they are the best. You want to see bad officiating? Go and play internationally. Go and look at, you know, some of the other pro leagues around the world where, you know, you get the soccer part of it into it. You don't know if the ref's on the take or not. I mean, these guys are the best in the world. It's the hardest game to officiate. Somebody asked me on Twitter, what would I give them out of 10? Still an 8 or a 9.
I wouldn't.
I would.
No.
Because I've no bad officiating. Well, I've seen it.
Yeah, but Jonesy, what we've seen this year, put it this way. I'll take you to task a little bit on that. Because from everything we've talked about, and everything that we've mentioned over the course of the first 29 games of the season, and missed calls, and I know it's a hard game to officiate, so you're going to have missed calls, but missed calls, misplays, inconsistent whistle, your theory of good teams versus bad teams, and good teams getting calls, and bad teams not getting calls, etc., that to me leads to inconsistencies in officiating. So I'm not going to say they're 2 out of 10, but I don't think you can say that they're inconsistent and that there's calls that go for good teams and calls that don't go for bad teams and phantom calls and makeup calls and everything else, but then say, yeah, but we're still getting them 8 or 9 out of 10. That doesn't fly. That's more like everything we're saying is more like, no, they're like a 5 or a 6 and they've been average at best. They're not 8 or 9.
It's also very hard to do. I mean, it's like people complaining about, you know.
That doesn't mean they're doing it well, though.
Well, hold on a second. For everybody complaining about Calderon, You want to go out there and try and run an NBA team? You know, like I always think about Kareem's line in Airplane when the guy says, my dad says you don't work here. Hey, you try dragging Lanier and Walton up and down the court. It's not easy to do. And in trying to put that into perspective, I still think they are the best in the world. You can't bring a college guy in here to officiate this game. It would just eat him up. The inconsistencies would be far more glaring than they are now. These guys miss some. And oftentimes when we look back, we find that they are right, even though our mind's eye tells us that they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving
much like the play today.
Yeah,
we thought they were wrong, and it turns out the evidence shows they were correct.
Bingo.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We're going to take one more here, and then I want to hear from Rasul Butler, the man who had the ball in his hands and was hoping to call for the timeout, but ultimately didn't get it. So first, we're going to Richie and Rexdale. Man, that's a mouthful there. Richie, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yes, gentlemen, and welcome back, man.
Thank you.
What's up, Richie?
Yeah, first I want to remind you guys that I always had Calderon back. I was one always representing Calderon, saying he's a very good point guard. He did a wonderful job around this team. Okay, another point is that I don't think this is down to the end of the call. I want to put this game, this loss, on DeRozan. I'm really not impressed with this dude at all, man. He's not stepping up to the plate. And, you know, he wants to be a star of this league. He wants to be the man of this team, but, you know, the man of the team always want the ball in his hand at these cuts, these figures. You know, he offset the play with Butler where he run and he run back and he run forward. The guy didn't know what he was doing, so he was too late to make him asking for the timeout. But this dude got to step up, man. He needs somebody in this groove. He just tell you, look, play the game. You got to play this game, man. You know, he's getting a lot of money to play. I'm not impressed with this dude at all. You know, he's not the man in the team at all, man. You know, he showed me that he's timid when he got to go up to the basket. That's his best game, when he's attacking the rim. But he's being timid and, you know, intimidated by other players around him. He wants to stand up and shoot the ball. Anyhow, I don't want to take up more of your time, man. Welcome back.
All right, Richie, appreciate the phone call. And DeRozan, he had a rough afternoon offensively. 2 of 13, 8 points, 7 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 4 turnovers. No doubt, you know, watching with a lot of friends and family back home in L.A. against a team that he grew up watching and following. Not the type of performance he wanted to turn in. And he was fired up when he thought the Raptors were about to close that thing out. He saw the big primal scream and the grin on his face, and he was loving life. But there was still 1:41 to go, and the Lakers outscore the Raptors 8-2 in the final. 1:41. Win by 2, 94-92. We'll try and get another call if we can, but first I want to hear from Rasul Butler after the ball game. He was the man that had the ball in his hands when the 5-second violation was called on the Raptors. It essentially changed the tide of the game and put the game in the win column for the LA Lakers again, 94-92. And here is Rasul Butler chatting with the media after the game.
What was your take on it?
Our officials, they do a great job. You know, they try to do the best job that they can. I asked for him to count out loud for me to help me out a little bit. He did. I heard 4. I turned the call timeout. And I guess, you know, he felt like it was 5 seconds.
How were you feeling about it?
Disappointed, obviously. You always want your team to get a shot to win a game. It was a 1-point game. I knew what my reads were. They put Gasol on the ball. The first look was a look to the rim, which was tough to get over his length. And then, you know, I took my other 2 reads, and then when they weren't open, I called timeout. You know, I thought that I called it in a good enough time. I turned the call timeout. And I thought he was turning to the table to award us the timeout, but that wasn't the case.
What did Coach say to you after the game, about the play in general, about the game? What did he say to the guys?
He said he liked the way that we fought to get back into the game, to give ourselves the opportunity to win. But again, the first quarter was, where we kind of made our bed. We need to come out and play with the same type of effort that we played throughout the game in the 3 quarters of the remaining of the game. So, but he was very positive. He wasn't happy with the first quarter, but happy with the last 3.
Were you shocked that they made that call at that point in the game?
I was. You know, I felt like that. I called the timeout in due time. You know, Coach and my teammates, they trust me in those situations. We practice it all the time. You know, I'm very poised in those situations, and, you know, I thought I called the timeout in good enough time, but, you know, the official made the call that he did.
Do you feel like sort of took the ball out of your hands at a point in the game where you know, you guys sort of had an opportunity there?
Yeah, you always rather, you know, you take a shot to either win it or lose it, for it not to be decided that way, but that was the case tonight.
There is Rasul Butler of the Toronto Raptors trying to explain what went down. As you heard right there, he felt that he called it in time. Obviously, Scott Foster ruled otherwise, and to his credit, to some extent, or maybe to a lot of extent, I guess, he's taking it like a man and saying they still do a great job, and unfortunately, it didn't go our way this afternoon. And that's the way it goes down for the Raptors, losing 94-92 to the LA Lakers. But in the end, it was the Lakers winning 94-92. Pau Gasol, 16 points, 17 rebounds. Kobe Bryant had 27 points. Jose Calderon, a career high 30. But the Raptors lose 94-92. Knicks on Tuesday on Valentine's Day as Jeremy Lin comes to town. And then the back-to-back on Wednesday against the San Antonio Spurs as well. Thanks to the entire crew down here and back at Raptors Central as well. For Paul Jones, I'm Eric Smith. It's been The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.